Into hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. An awesome Tuesday to you. Man, I told you we'd have a good day. We are having a really good show. The show brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Having a great day because we had a conversation with the 2019 U.S. Open champion moments ago, Gary Woodland. We had Denver Broncos corner Chris Harris Jr. on in hour number one. Banging telephone calls. And right now, as promised, we are joined by the head coach of the St. Louis Blues. 17 NHL seasons as a player. He was named interim head coach in November. He is a finalist for the Jack Adams Award. He just led St. Louis to their first Stanley Cup ever. We are joined by head coach Craig Berube. Craig, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It is so good to have you on. It has been 6 days since you and your guys won the Stanley Cup. What has it been like celebrating with them and the city of St. Louis?
Well, I mean, it's crazy, that's for sure, but a lot of fun. You know, that parade was something else to see. You know, just all the fans and how happy and excited they were. I'm really happy for the city. And, again, to be able to, you know, celebrate with, you know, the team after the win there. And it's great. I was so happy for our players. And, you know, it's a grind, as you know, winning that cup. It takes a lot. It takes some luck and it's a lot of work.
No, I do know that. I mean, I don't know that, but my opinion is it's the biggest grind there is in sports to win the Stanley Cup, to go like every other night for a month, and every single period, every single shift, everything matters. It is the ultimate grind. Now, you played 17 years in the NHL. You played in some cities that absolutely love hockey, Craig, but you've said that St. Louis is the best hockey town you've ever been around. What is it about that city and those fans that make that town so special?
Well, passion for sure, and just to see the passion, and just, you know, I've been there for 2 years, and just to see the support that that town gives the hockey team, well, and also sports town in general, the Cardinals, obviously, but, you know, they're just passionate fans that they were hungry for a winner, and just to see how excited they are, and, you know, I've been in Philadelphia where the fans are obviously very passionate, great sports town in itself. But there's just something special about these fans in St. Louis that I really believe. They're really loyal fans that are very passionate.
Craig Berube joining us. So go back to Wednesday night. You're up 4-1 in the third period. When the final seconds are ticking down, you know you're going to be Stanley Cup champs. What's going through your head? What are those moments like at the very end?
Well, when we got a 4-1 lead and there's still 2 minutes to go, you're still grinding in your head because you don't, you know, you just can't take anything for granted. So the only, you know, once, you know, the few seconds go down and everybody's jumping in the air and everything, it's just, it's a great feeling, but it's also relief, too, that you won, you know. And it kind of go hand in hand for me as a coach. You know, I think for the players it's different, but as a coach you're always grinding and, you know, the pressure of, you know, trying to deliver that championship. But, you know, it's obviously a great feeling for sure. You know, it's hard to describe that feeling. Just, again, a lot of relief, but enjoyment at the same time.
You know, Craig, I wonder, you've been an NHL head coach before, and I'm guessing that you were looking to get another opportunity, but nobody ever dreams of taking over as an interim coach after a friend has been let go. When you took over, how did you go about making sure that everybody was on the same page and ready to move forward, and most of all, not to give up on the season?
Yeah. Well, you know, it takes time for sure. We had to do a lot of maneuvering with players and things like that and get them in the right seat. But I think the biggest thing was just trying to get these guys on the same page on the ice and playing for each other. It took a lot of meetings. It took a lot of tough meetings with players, individuals, with, you know, team itself. And it's just we're, as a coaching staff, we just wanted to stress that we won't go anywhere unless we really pull together and start working and playing for each other on the ice. As you know, all good teams, they got to want to do it for each other. And once that started to come in December at some point, we really started to feel good, but we weren't getting enough wins until Binnington came in, obviously, and really solidified that goaltending position. And that's when we went on our run.
Blues head coach Craig Berube joining us. I mean, it's amazing to me that you were able to get that culture together as quickly as you did. And again, nobody's bigger than the team. That was kind of the whole point you were trying to make. So I don't want to single anybody out, but because you mentioned him, Jordan Binnington was an absolute legend in the postseason. And time and time again, including Game 7 on the road in the Stanley Cup Final, how do you describe what he's been able to do as a rookie between the pipes?
It's amazing for sure, but again, when I look at, he came in and his first game in Philly, he won. I just thought when I watched him closely, just mentally, he was in a good spot. He never got too high or too low. And then when a couple losses came, he rebounded all the time. I think it was, he let things go. He did a good job, you know, mentally letting things go. Or if he won, didn't get too high, kept his mind even keeled. And, you know, went out there and played. And the same thing in the playoffs. You know, if he had a loss, he'd let it go, move on. And then, again, I thought his best game of the playoffs was Game 7, and that's when we needed him to be his best.
Craig Berube joining us. You know, Game 7 is really something, right? I mean, you've got a chance to close this thing out at home in Game 6 against Boston. That didn't go so well, but instead you bounce back like you had all season long. You go on the road and you dominate a really tough, experienced Bruins team in their house in Game 7. Knowing how the team had bounced back time and time again, did it feel like maybe that was the perfect ending for this group?
Well, it did, to be honest with you. I thought Game 6... just my feeling before the game, you're just a little bit edgy because of what, you know, if, when you're coming into the arena and you're seeing all the fans down there and everybody thinking you're going to win the cup tonight. It's a lot of pressure, I thought, on our players. And I thought that we didn't seem exactly right before the game. And I was a little concerned with, you know, if you don't win, you're letting the whole city down. That's the way you feel. So it was a lot, but you know, we didn't get off to the start we wanted to, and Boston got the lead. And in that series, the lead was really important for both teams. When they got the lead, they seemed to win. So it didn't work out in Game 6. But I thought our guys were almost, you know, the next day they felt relieved and ready to go for Game 7. I felt they were calm and in a good spot. So I was pretty excited about Game 7. I wasn't worried at all. I knew we'd come out and play hard. And again, Binnington really played well in the first period, kept us in there, and we ended up getting a couple goals, and we're in a good spot.
Now, Craig, you came so close to winning a cup as a player, so you know about the battle. How much of success in the NHL postseason is about physical skill, and how much is it about physical and mental toughness?
Yeah, I believe it's a lot about mental toughness and physical toughness. And, you know, we talked about mental toughness a lot once we took over as a coaching staff, how important it is for your players to be mentally tough and let things go and deal with adversity. And we had to deal with a lot of adversity for sure, getting into the playoffs, but also in the postseason. But it's a grind, like I said, and you got to be mentally tough and physically tough. And we were both in the playoffs, and you got to get some puck luck, which we did. And, you know, now we're champions.
Yes, you are. They can't take that from you. Listen, before you go, some of your teammates who played with you over the years have some legendary stories about you, both in practice and in games. But the other thing that comes up isn't just about your toughness and your competitiveness. It's about your head for the game, your mind for the game. Who were the coaches that you learned from the most when you were coming up?
Oh, there's a number of them. You know, I played for a bunch of real good coaches. I played for Mike Keenan my first few years in the league. So, you know, they all have their own little, you know, thing, the way they coach and what they preach and stuff. So I guess, you know, my opinion, you know, I probably took a lot from everybody, you know. I was around Ken Hitchcock a lot throughout my career, junior, hockey, pro, and then coached alongside him in Philadelphia. So he had a big influence on me about how he does things, and he's a very successful coach, obviously. I got a lot of good friends, Rick Tocchet, Dale Hunter, that I really talk to a lot about hockey. They're both great coaches, and I played with both of them as teammates. So I had a lot of good guys around me throughout my career that I learned from.
Boy, Tock was one of my favorites. I loved him as a player. I loved having him on the show back in the day. He was such a quality guy in the room. But, I mean, Craig, Mike Keenan, I mean, what a fierce, fierce guy he was. What was he like to play for when you came up?
You better be on your toes, I'll tell you that, because he would do things from out of nowhere that he always kept you on your toes. and especially if you're a young guy. And he was hard on you, but at the same time, I thought he was pretty fair for the most part. But you had to be on your toes all the time, you know. And if you weren't, he didn't play. End of story. He didn't give you another chance till later on. You were out, and that was it. So it made you be ready to go and made you be on your toes right away as a young guy.
And then, Craig, finally, you mentioned what it's been like the last few days in that town, in that city, with your guys celebrating it all. You know, when I think about all-time Blues greats, one of the first guys that comes to mind is Brett Hull. And Hully, as you know, went legend at the parade. One thing for you, Craig, listen to this.
Glory, Gloria! 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 I think I got your number, Gloria!
I don't know, man. Craig, when I think about this guy, when he was doing it, nobody was doing it better, man. Hully was the ultimate sniper. But then when I see him do that, I think that might be his most legendary moment. How about the legend going legend the way he did?
He put a clinic on for a few days. He's not a very good singer, but he's a hell of a goal scorer. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, one of the best ever. One of the best ever. Craig Berube is the head coach of the St. Louis Blues. 17 years as a player. He's got his Stanley Cup. Craig, I really appreciate it. Congratulations. Have fun with that, and really good to have you on the show.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing it, Craig. Appreciate you. Congrats. St. Louis, you've got your Stanley Cup. And the way they did it was absolutely amazing. Hate to belabor the point, but they were the worst team in the NHL in January. And the best team in the NHL in the end. Amazing, amazing run. To lose that game at game 6 at home when they had a chance to finish, and then to go on the road and to beat a tough, experienced Bruins team that came out flying in game 7 was absolutely incredible.
Glory, Gloria!
Back at it. Look who's back in Cali. We go to the phones. Calling from JWA, the John Wayne Airport. Trapper. Welcome home, Trap. What's up?
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good, man, bud. How about you?
Good to be home. I got the webmaster, Jimmy Benton, driving me today, and things are good. Things are very good. The cancer, we're holding our own. So, anyhow, I just wanted to RSVP to the rest of you guys. I'm in, and I'm all in. And also another thing I got to say, Jimmy, since I'm here right now, this is yours truly, Juice. I heard about you talking about getting even. I'm back in town, and there's a new sheriff in this town. And bottom line is, you punk-ass bitch, I'm going to get even with you for Ron and Nicole and everybody else that hated that complete bastardization of justice. I'm coming, Juice, and I got a noose for you this time, bitch. Anyhow, more important, Jim, I want to invite everybody to the party we're going to be having it after the show at Hennessy's in Dana Point. And we got a lot of great local talent that's going to be playing guitar. We're going to do the Mr. Microphone competition once again, legacy of yours truly, Jim Rome, that was created somewhere on the tour stops. But anyhow, $200 for best Mr. Microphone. And I guess that's about it for now. But Jimmy, it is so good to be home. Congratulations to you on this being the 25th Smack Off. I got 27, I think Silk and I got 27 years in the bank, but, God bless you. And thanks for everything you've brought to talk radio. You're the best in this country, pal. Tramps like us, babe. I'm out.
Trapper, you're a made man. 30 pieces of silver.
And outside of the 30 pieces.
Tramps like us.
Tramps like us.
Trapper has always been a fierce, fierce character. An extremely passionate guy, one of the most loyal guys I know. And he'll give you the hands now, but I haven't heard him that fired up. And he's always fired up. He's never not fired up about something when he calls. I haven't heard him that pissed about anything as he was with OJ and the lack of perceived justice. Well, nothing perceived about that. I mean, bro, did you just threaten OJ? You didn't just threaten his life. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but he did threaten to get even now that he's back home. Most importantly, though, Trap, you are back home. Welcome. Welcome back home. It's great to have you back. He's in Cali, and he is hosting a party at Hennessy's in Dana Point. It's a post-Smackoff party. It is one of the watch parties, one of the parties nationally, which we'll run down a little bit later on. So Trapper's back in Cali. The original webmaster, Jim Benton, is his wingman today. I wonder if the flight deck, the current webman, the contemporary webman, has connected with Jim Benton. Have you, Big Head? Benton was the guy back in the day, man. Benton was so far ahead of his time. I mean, Benton saw things head. Flight Deck is an extremely loyal member of the XR4TI. And certainly has tenure and years on Benton. But Benton was there day one. I mean, like when we actually got a website for the first time. Boy, there's a clash of generations right there. The guy with the biggest head, the oldest guy, Benton. Good times. Generations, man. Made men, dozens of pieces of silver. And Trapper was pissed about the juice, saying that he was going to get even. Hey, Trap, don't get hooked. Don't get hooked by that troll. Hey, Romy, did you just say that you want the clones to bump the smack off on an 8-track? I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with these newfangled contraptions. I'll be listening from my phonograph turntable. Regards, Ike. It's going to be Ike's first smack off. Geoff and Lincoln wore Ike going home every day after work to take a nap on the Davenport.
It's lit!
It's Rit! Listen, Rit booked Coach K. Rit booked Bob Costas for next week. Ike's doing his job, man. He's booking out. He's taking care of that podcast. Get off this guy's back. All right, so we've had Chris Harris Jr., we've had the U.S. Open champ Gary Woodland, and we've had the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup championship head coach Craig Berube. Having a good day. Wonder if my man Rich Ackerman's going to turn some of that sound around. He already got Gary Woodland in his update. All right, let's break. Coach K pod after the show. As part of that pod, the last five Smack-Off winning calls. Look for it. We're going to push it out after the show. Still ahead, the Rockets and the problems they're having. How much of that is on Chris Paul? We'll get into that next. The Smack-Off is in 3 days. More calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tonight, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, make way for What's Next, when CBS Sports Network brings you a WNBA showdown as the Mystics take on the LA Sparks on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. How about we talk a little baseball? Let me change up on you. Because we are getting to the part of the year where the champagne is dried in the winning locker rooms of the NBA and the NHL. Golf has got one major left. The NFL is still about 80 days out. College football nearly as far out on the horizon. So we are getting to that part of the year, which is called baseball season. Call it the dead of summer. Call it the dog days. Call it whatever you want, but it's here. It's here. 7 nights a week, 14 times a day. Same as it ever was. Same as it always will be. And it's got that lone spotlight right now. So why not throw some shine on the Americano backdrop of warm weather, long nights, our former national pastime? Let's do it. Why don't we start right here? Yesterday, speaking of St. Louis, Cards third baseman Matt Carpenter did something that I've never seen before. And I've been watching this game a pretty long time. I've seen a lot of things in baseball, but never this. Matt Carpenter He's one of the many lefties who climbs into the box every single night and sees a shift on the right side of the infield. A shift that's taking away so many base hits right now that there's a groundswell of noise about how it's wrecking the game and it should be eliminated from the game. But as of last night, it is still a perfectly legal defensive alignment. And in the bottom of the third against the Marlins, Carpenter beat it by turning around a changeup 394 feet.
Be a nice weapon to be able to insert into the rotation, certainly.
Carpenter with a high fly ball into deep right center. It's at the wall. Goodbye. Number 10, Carpenter. And it's 1-0 on the solo home run.
Yeah, no shift for that. But it is a game of percentages. And the percentages say that he's only going to jump ship once every 60 at-bats. So the Marlins and every other team in the league can live with that. I mean, that'll happen. Not very often, but that'll happen. But the thing about percentages is this. Both squads have them. And Carpenter knows as much about what he's trying to do and about what he's going to do as the team that he's trying to do it against, right? It goes both ways. So in his very next at-bat, staring down yet another right side shift, the lefty pull hitter did something that every lefty pull hitter should have been doing for years now.
Carpenter against the shift. Nobody there. Why not take two? It'll be the shortest double of his career standing up. Unbelievable. Why not bunt?
Score that a freaking bunt double. Hell yes. If it sounds like I'm jacked, it's because I am. Sometimes the very best solution is the easiest one. Matt Carpenter just proved, he proved that, right? When he became the first Cards hitter ever to bunt for a double. A freaking 95-foot double that the pitcher had to go run down in short left field. And this guy coasted to second base standing up. Man, I could not love that any more than I do. It was awesome on so many different levels, not the least of which is seeing a pitcher have to run all the way from the mound into left field to retrieve the ball himself. After the guy came in standing up on second with a bunt double, it's beautiful because everybody who would normally be there is on the wrong side of second base. But damn, wasn't that a breath of fresh air? Why doesn't everybody do that? It's a free single at worst, maybe a double at best, and the defense is just giving it to anybody who can leave their ego in the dugout and just drop down a damn bunt. Is there anyone out there right now who had a problem with that? Or a problem with Carpenter? Or wants to take that away from him? Or thinks that's cheap? Never mind that's a double in the box score. It's so much better than that. It's awesome. Is there anybody anywhere who's got a problem with that? Hell no. Do it again and again and again until they put their guys back on the left side and the rest of the field opens up for what you want to do with it and spray it anywhere you want. Listen, the shift does not need to be banned. It just needs to be beat. It's the backbone of sports. If somebody does something well, you take it away from them. You force them to beat you by doing something else. And when they beat you doing something else, you take that away from them, and then they go back to beating you the way they used to. Well, that's how it is in theory. You want to level the playing field? Then use the whole damn playing field. Let's hope yesterday's bunt double sparks a revolution. Because right now, baseball is a three-outcome sport. Walk, strikeout, home run. It's not great. Everybody knows it. 260 is the new 300. 150 strikeouts are fine if you hit enough home runs. I mean, it is what it is. But that's on the defense to fix. The defense is not there to help out hitters. I mean, come on, get real. Think about that for a second. Banning the shift is banning strategy. You want to ban leading off and throwing curveballs and diving for catches too? Again, the shift does not need to be banned. It needs to be beat. And beating it is as easy as dropping down a bunt and taking your damn bag. Or in this case, Carpenter taking two damn bags. It's 2019. And I'm going to change the saying from hit them where they ain't to bunt them where they ain't. That's my favorite double of all time. Better than any double that found the gap. Better than any double off the wall. A 95-foot double that the pitcher had to run down himself. You know what would have been better? The only thing better would have been if that had been done to Rich Hill. You imagine Rich Hill? Bleep, 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 mother bleep, bleep. Oh, hell no, I'm not going to go get that ball. You imagine how many guys would have gotten the hands? JC, bleep. You imagine how many guys would have gotten the hands from Rich Hill in the dugout if he had to run down that ball himself? The opposite field. That would have been so good. You have the sound of that anywhere, Alvin? Oh, Van Smack, JC, bleep, 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 Van Smack. Oh, come on, man. Thanks for that, JC, Van Smack. Alvin? That was his reaction after he allowed a single with the shift that was erased like 3 seconds later in the first inning. Best bunt in the history of baseball last night, Carpenter. When we return, let me talk some Rockets basketball. 1-800-636-8686. NBA draft coming up on Thursday. Mike Krzyzewski is our guest on the Jim Rome podcast, and he talked about his three guys that could go in the lottery. They may get four first-rounders. Here's the big question. Once again, Smack Off 25 is proudly presented by my pals at Vivid Seats. And this year, Vivid Seats is giving every Smack Off caller that makes the air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. I can't tell you who's going to win, but I guarantee a first-class experience with Vivid Seats because they back up every purchase with a 100% buyer guarantee. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit vividseats.com. All right, so going back to Trapper. Trapper made the phone call, and apparently the original webmaster, Jim Benton, picked him up at John Wayne, and they were rolling together. And then I brought up the big head, the flight deck, James Kelly, a legendary factor or a legendary presence on the XR4TI. And I said, talk about a clash of generations. The guy with the biggest head, being in the same place, same space or same room with the oldest guy, Jim Benton. And I made reference to that fact. And then Flight Deck hit me up and said, quote, no offense to Benton, and I'm sure he's great. I just don't see myself driving Parody Larry around in 20 years. Flight Deck.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
All right, so understand the show within the show and the culture of the show. This show is very different than every other sports talk show for any number of reasons, but most of which, the culture of the show. So for a long time, there's been a website that's been dedicated to covering the show, stucknut.com. I mean, this goes back at least 20 years, right? And the nut, Steve, who we've met, has done an absolutely amazing job of archiving and chronicling what happens on the show. Adam Hawk, pick him up real quick. Now, I'll be honest. This is the first time I've ever heard of this. I've never really known exactly how the Nut did it, but I've always been under the assumption that the Nut was a one-man band. Stephen H. Town. Is this true? Does he run this site by himself? And it's amazing, right, that I don't even know the answer to this. I just assumed it to be so, and now I'm hearing something to the contrary.
Yeah, he's got partners. Hedstrom Bacon and the Pool Doc.
Hedstrom Bacon. All right, so here's a guy who contributes all the time. Little did I know that he was an insider.
Yeah, it's my understanding that Stucknut is the name of a website and a pseudo company, if you will. And there are three people that work on Stucknut: Stephen H. Town, Pool Doc, and Hedstrom Bacon. They are collectively known as Stucknut, which is a reference to an old commercial on the show. Oh, what was it like? If your lug nut is stuck, grab a wrench or something like that.
Right.
Yes, Steve told it to me in like some random spot in Texas when we were out there for the Super Bowl.
What they should have done is name that website after another commercial that we had back in the day. Bang.
Right. Bang. So sorry, I was listening to that commercial. Anyway. So those three guys.
Bang was a pheromone commercial back in the day where some woman came on and was like, bang.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, yeah, Craig Kitchen made that go away really fast. Anyway.
So those three guys run it, but Steve has been given the title by everyone, including us and including all the people on Twitter. They just call him Stucknut.
Wait, that's not his name?
Just his name kidding. Is Steve, yeah.
I know that. Yeah, the news here is not that Steve's actual name is not Stucknut. I knew that. I didn't know that he had partners and others on the site with him.
Yeah, they host a monthly radio show on Stucknut Radio. Quite good. And then they do a smack off after show as well.
All right, so the reason I bring this up is because there's somebody who's on hold right now who is not Stucknut, but he's one of the three, correct?
That is correct, yes. You know him as Pool Doc.
Are you multitasking right now? Am I bothering you, Hawk?
Not at all. It's never a bother. I'm happy to join you on the air at all times.
Yeah, it's a bother to me, man. Take your headphones off. Next time I need you, just focus, man. I understand that we're down a man because Chael moved on to whatever it is Chael's doing right now. But when the boss is talking to you, man, just lock in on that. It's only like a minute. It's not that hard. Anyway, point of the story is, all along I've been under the assumption that Stucknut ran that site by himself. I never understood how he ran that site by himself, but I was under the assumption he ran that site by himself. You know how he did that? Because he didn't run the site by himself, allegedly. Let's find out. One of the others, you have Hedstrom Bacon, who tweets all the time. And you have this guy, George, a.k.a. Pool Doc in San Antonio. I can't wait to hear this. George, what's going on?
What's up, Rome? Van Smack, how you doing, brother?
Dude, yeah, I mean, lay this out for me. Literally, are there three guys running that site? And if so, how long have you been a part of that site?
I've been a part of that site pretty much since the beginning, Rome, somewhere around 09. And yeah, we help Steve out a lot. He does everything, Rome. As far as getting paid, I hadn't seen a dime, but it's all fun. It's all about the jungle. It's all about you, bro. I just wanted to real quick say that we are going to have our post-Smack-Off show. And Rome, there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of shows after the shows. And, you know, we usually get some of the legends and we get the callers from the show, but I like it when we get the clones, bro. I like it when we get the folks that like me that never call. That have a take, or I don't know if I have a take, but that never call and just hear their opinion about you, about the show. And we do this, we've done this for 9 years in a row, brother, 9 years.
So, George, you've been working on that site since 09. This literally is the first time you've ever called this show.
Yes, sir.
My man. George, how long?
The respect of the jungle that I have is incredible. I'm nervous right now. I just don't want to mess anything up in the jungle.
No, bro.
I don't want to do anything to hurt the show, Van Smack. That's what it is.
Dude, I got you. You sound great. You're awesome. You have nothing to worry about. How long have you listened to this show?
I started on the second Smack Off, Van Smack. I didn't get to hear JT. Of course, I heard that afterwards when I, you know, started doing what we do. But I've been around in San Antonio. We used to get you for 8 hours with the Gorilla. We were listening to all 8 hours, Van Smack.
Oh, that was so good back in the day. My man Andrew Ashwood would be hooking me up, sir, in San Antonio. So, George, if people listening right now want to listen to the post-Smack-Off show on Stucknut, where do they find it? How do they do it?
Well, Van Smack, we do it through the Periscope app, and we start at the top of the hour to respect your sponsors. So just go to stucknut.com. You'll be able to find it. We'll be everywhere. And we're going to be going until they stop calling, Rome. I'll go 2-3 hours. I'll go as long as they keep calling. They keep wanting to talk about the show. I figured it was a way to come down off the high that is the Smack-Off, Rome. So we've been doing this for about 9 years, and we let everybody just come back down and get back down to normal before we send them back home.
All right, so, George, who normally calls? Does anybody who calls during the Smack-Off call and recap their calls?
Rome, the only one that really haven't had call in was Greg in Vegas. Silk has been a friend of the show for all ever since I've been doing this, Rome. We've had everybody except for you. I've just been too nervous to ask to talk to you. But, you know, we've had all the legends have called in. We talked to Trapper Terrence. Terrence was incredible. This is just them being them. And like I said, well, I'd like to, you know, those guys driving down to the Hennessy's in Dap Point. Man, give us a call. We'll talk and we'll hear what's going on. I wish I could be in SoCal, Rome, but I'll be in H-Town with the Specmet crew. Even Headstrom's coming in from up north.
Hey, George, we're talking to George, a.k.a. Bulldog. Listen, bro, I would love to have you here in SoCal, but somebody's got to run that show. Somebody's got to host that show. Somebody's got to hold it down, so you got to do your thing. So just so everybody's clear on this, you don't need to be in the smack-off. If you're listening to the program or you have anything to say about the smack-off and reaction, they should call your show, right? You're talking to everybody.
Rome, I want to talk to the people that you know that never call or just I want to hear their take, Rome. I love it. It's like the way to get your message out and not do what I'm doing right now, you know, freaking out talking to the king of the jungle. But you know, I'll take anybody and everybody's call, Rome, and I'll stay on the air as long as they keep calling, brother.
All right, so George, bottom line, who is going to archive this call that you just made for the take box? Is it you, Bacon, or Steve?
It would be Steve, sir.
You got it. Oh, dude, you can't sir me. George, you did it, man. You got the plane down. Rack him. Atta boy, George. Way to be. He's been listening since we did it. George did it! He's been listening since the second smack off. He's been working on the site since 09, and they've got a great post show, a great post smack off show where some of the legends, a number of the legends, have called and participated. Matt in Vancouver's in. At Belligerent Nuck, Matt in Vancouver tweets, "At least Stucknut's helper didn't sound nervous. LMAO. This dude is falling apart." He said it, man. He said, "Look, I'm nervous. It's fine. It's great. It's awesome." Hey, George, I appreciate you, brother, so much.
Brother.
I appreciate you. I appreciate Headstrom Bacon. I appreciate Steve-O. I appreciate all the hard work you guys do on behalf of the program. And I appreciate all you clones for having my back, repping the show, doing what you do. At Sando Shuffle tweets, "Vinny Mac thinks that Pool Doc needs a paper bag."
Let's go to Des Moines. Vinny Mac. Vinny Mac, what's up?
All those double talking jive turkeys out there, they better watch out because they're going to get their asses ragdolled. And all these Raggedy Ann and Andy's out there. I'm the bottle on the top shelf. I'm the steroid that brought me.
You know what you are, Vinny? You're a mess, man. Man, I wish my man George had called earlier. Like 10 years earlier. I love the Pool Doc. Hey, Steve, way to take all the credit all these years. What's up, bro? I had no idea you had wingman. Chris and KC tweets, "Can somebody check the blood pressure on the Pool Doc ASAP?" Hey, Steve, you're a legend, bro, but I've been giving you all the credit this whole time. KC in Boston, "Holy bleep, someone get George an oxygen tank." Brother, that thing's got to jump today. I got to reset that tomorrow. All right, so Coach K is going to be my podcast guest. Look for that a little bit later on today. My thanks to Craig Berube, Gary Woodland, Chris Harris Jr., and most of all, George the Pool Doc. Good job, George. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. We're almost there. Smack Off is Friday. We're out.